The portion of scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14, beginning with the 13th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, you see it played out again and again in movies. A character gets into some sort of situation, a predicament, and it seems as if all hope is lost. Maybe he's surrounded in a gunfight, or he's blocked in during a car chase. Maybe she's diagnosed with some horrible disease. Maybe a family loses its house to foreclosure. Whatever the case, something happens and it seems as if all hope is lost. But then it isn't. At the last possible moment, something happens to make everything turn out okay. Maybe a second shooter shows up, or he finds a way to drive on the sidewalk, or doctors find some miracle cure when it seemed as if all hope was lost. Ends up that everything turned out okay. We see it again and again in movies. In fact, that's not surprising. The only thing that is a mystery is often how it's going to turn out okay, even though you know that it will. Now we see it play out so often that we become immune when we see bad things happen in the world today. We automatically think that it's going to turn out well. Until that is, something happens to you or a loved one. And then we doubt. Then we worry. Then we question God. But today, you see, to put your trust in your compassionate and powerful Lord. For He has mercy on you, and He is able to take care of you. Now before our text for today begins, Jesus just heard about the death of His cousin and forerunner, John the Baptist. He was beheaded by Herod. Jesus wanted to go alone by himself to a solitary place so that he could pray to God. So he got into a boat with his disciples and went on the Sea of Galilee to the other side, the east side of the Sea of Galilee, to be alone. Now we read elsewhere that they arrived in the vicinity of Bethsaida, far enough away from the town that it was described as a secluded place, a desolate place. As it turns out, Jesus and his disciples weren't alone. No, there was a group of people who saw Jesus leave on the boat. So word spread. And they came out from all the towns and villages surrounding the Sea of Galilee and walked on the seashore following Jesus until he landed. In fact, the crowd was so great that we find out that there are 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And Jesus saw the predicament they were in. He understood the effects of sin in their lives. And his heart went out to them. We read, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. They were sheep without a shepherd. They longed for someone to show them the truth. They were sinners, and their sins weighed down on them. They had no one to tell them that the forgiveness of sins doesn't depend on their works, doesn't depend on them obeying the laws of God or the laws of men. They needed someone to show them that forgiveness comes through a loving and compassionate God for free, that someone, Jesus, was going to pay for their sins and would rise from the dead so that they may have eternal life. He also saw the effects of sin in their life. He saw the sick, the lame, the crippled, the demon-possessed. And his heart went out to them. He had compassion on them. Mercy. Deep-rooted care and concern on this crowd of people. How could he not? They were helpless. They were hopeless. In their minds, all hope was God. And on their own, it would have been. And yet Jesus was there, and Jesus had compassion on them, and Jesus was able to help them. And he didn't turn them away. He didn't walk the other way because he wanted to be alone. But he welcomed them, embraced them, and showed compassion on them. And the same thing he does for us. We too are helpless. We too are hopeless. Born as enemies of God. Poor, miserable sinners who can't do anything but sin against God. Children of the devil who on our own will live with the devil in hell forever. We can't do anything to save ourselves. We can't earn our own salvation. So his heart goes out to us. He doesn't want us to receive eternal punishment. Realize that we are helpless and hopeless to save ourselves. And he sees the effects of sin elsewhere in our lives. He knows what it's like living in this sinful world. He lived on this earth for more than 30 years, just like one of us. He knows the pain that sin causes. He empathizes with us. Knows what it's like when a loved one dies. When someone gets sick. When something happens in the world around you and it seems as if your life is falling to pieces. He understands what you are going through. He's never too busy. He's never doing something else. He never has time for you, but he's always concerned about you, always cares about you, always has mercy and compassion on you, just as he had mercy and compassion on that crowd of people. I'm going to tell you the truth. All the mercy and compassion in the world wouldn't mean a thing if it didn't lead Jesus to do something. Compassion is pointless unless it leads to actions. And Jesus' compassion did. Not only did he have compassion on us when we were helpless, but he also was able, and he does, do something about it. It's just three words at the end of verse 14. Easy to pass over, easy to forget. Healed their sick. Now that he's understood because of the phrase before. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. He saw the people in the crowd. He saw the effects of sin. He saw the lame. He saw the sick. He saw the diseased. He saw the demon-possessed. And so he healed their sick. He didn't heal them by medical means. He didn't give them some medicine. He didn't perform surgery on them. He healed them by his divine power. Doing something that no human could do. He performed miracle after miracle for them. Now they thought all hope was lost. They thought that they would suffer forever because of this sickness, or that they might die because of that disease. But Christ saw them. He had compassion on them, and he used his divine power to heal them. He showed them that he truly is God. But not everyone saw that. Not everyone saw that he was God, and not everyone saw him perform all those miracles. After all, there are thousands upon thousands of people there, so they all couldn't possibly see Jesus healing sick and the disease. But it was getting late. The people were getting hungry. Now, they didn't have enough food to feed everyone. Now, we learn in other Gospels that Philip, one of the disciples, told Jesus not even 8 months' worth of wages would be enough money to buy food for all these people. The disciples urged Jesus to send these people away. Let them go to the towns and villages around us so they can buy food for themselves. That is, if they even had money. But the problem is, these people came to hear Jesus. They were sheep without a shepherd, and they found their shepherd. Jesus didn't want to send them away to get food, because if he did, they wouldn't be receiving spiritual nourishment. So Jesus told the disciples, "You feed them." Well, they found a boy who had 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. Not enough to feed the 12 disciples, let alone thousands upon thousands of people. "Well, bring them here to me," Jesus said. Took them, looked up into heaven, and asked the Lord's blessings upon them. Broke them into pieces and gave them to disciples, and the disciples distributed them among the people. Now the NIV says they all ate and were satisfied, but the Greek is a little bit different than that. Now the Greek says they all ate and were filled. They were full, they were filled with food. They didn't just eat a little bit, enough to satisfy their cravings, satisfy their hunger, and then pass the rest of the food on. No, they ate and were stuffed. They ate and were completely full. They ate to their heart's content. 5,000 grown men ate, not counting all the women and all the children who were present. They all ate and were filled. And there are some left over. And the disciples collected the leftover pieces, 12 large basketfuls of leftovers. Far more than when they started. Thousands upon thousands of people ate by 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and they had more left over than when they started. Everyone knew why. Jesus. He had taken care of them. And when it seemed as if all hope was lost, as it seemed as if these people would go hungry, Jesus fed them. Using a miracle to take care of those whom he had compassion on. You would think that no one would forget that. You would think that they would remember that all the days of their lives. And yet we fast forward a little bit in Jesus' ministry. 4,000 people, not counting women and children, were with Jesus for 3 days without food. Jesus told his disciples about this and said that we need to feed them. And his disciples replied, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" The disciples didn't remember what Jesus had done with the 5,000. Didn't even enter their mind that Jesus could take care of such a large people. I mean, they knew Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had listened to Jesus. They had seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle. And yet they doubted. They didn't trust for Jesus to take care of them. They didn't trust in him to perform another miracle and to take care of their needs. Sad, isn't it? And yet you do it all the time. You doubt God and his care constantly. You know that he is taking care of you in the past. You know he has never let you down. You see example after example in the Bible, and yet you get sick. A loved one gets in a serious accident, you lose your job, and it seems in your mind as if all hope is lost. you suffer. And then you doubt, you begin to doubt God. You complain about Him. You question His power and promises. You're not sure if He has mercy and compassion. And the devil tries to convince you that He doesn't exist. If God is all-powerful and if God loves you, then why do you suffer in this way? Either God isn't all-powerful or God doesn't exist. You begin to wonder if He's watching over you. If He's taking care of you. Or maybe He has something against you which allows you to suffer in this way. So then you figure to yourself, you can take care of things. You can take care of things yourself. You're an able, a capable person, and you can get through this on your own. Until you realize you can't. So you turn again to God and His Word. You see what He does with His power, how He healed those who are sick. How He fed 5,000 with just a little bit of food. Those are just two examples. There are many more. Take Joseph, for example, in our first lesson. Sold into slavery, spending years upon years in the dungeons of Egypt, only to be made second in command, saving many lives, including the lives of his brother and fathers. Brothers and father. There are many more acts of compassion, including the ultimate act of compassion of giving up his life on the cross. How he took your sins upon himself, condemned to hell for what you have done wrong, only to rise from the dead 3 days after his death to give you the gift of eternal life. He did this so that you may be saved. You were helpless and hopeless. All hope was lost for you to save yourself, so Christ took care of it as he always does. So there is no reason to doubt Christ's compassion. There is no reason to question his power and promises. He has taken care of you again and again, and he will continue to do so. Does that mean that you will never go hungry, or no one will ever go hungry? Well, no. Does it mean that you will never suffer at all in this life? Of course not. Does it mean that you will never die? Nope. And yet you know that no matter what, Christ is with you. Do you know that no matter what happens in your life, it will turn out to your good, to your benefit? You may not always see that good. This side of heaven, you may not always see the benefit of the things that you have to suffer through in this life. And yet you know Christ. You know that He has taken care of you. And he will continue to do so. And no matter what happens in your life, you know where you will be when your life is over. In heaven. A perfect life with a perfect Savior, singing his praises forever, free from sin, free from the effects of sin, free from pain and toil and sickness and disease. So as we suffer, as we go through the hardships and difficulties in this life, we look ahead, we look forward to that life. It seems as if all hope is lost, and maybe as far as this earthly life is concerned, it is. But all hope is not lost, because in the end, we'll be with our Savior in heaven forever. You know, in movies, it seems as if all hope was lost, and so it suddenly isn't. It may seem as if all hope is lost in your life, but you know it's not. You have Christ. He sees you. His heart goes out to you. He has compassion on you, and he takes care of you. He has again and again, and he will continue to do so. When all hope was lost, he gave up his life and rose from the dead. And you know that you too will rise from the dead. He is taking care of you and will continue to do so until he comes again and takes you home. And so when we suffer, we know that we have Christ. We trust in our powerful and compassionate Lord. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.